Hello, this is your Polycast for Friday, February 8th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Governor Walz wants more money for Minlars and community schools and why the governor likes them. Governor Tim Walz has signed an executive order creating a Blue Ribbon Council to advise state government on information technology issues, including the troubled Minlars driver licensing and vehicle registration system. The governor also said Thursday he'll ask the legislature for another $16 million to continue fixing Minlars and to increase staffing in the division that distributes license plates, vehicle titles, and driver's licenses. Meanwhile, the governor told some of his former colleagues in Congress yesterday that they need to invest more in infrastructure. Walz testified in Washington before the U.S. House Transportation Committee. He said his election was proof that there is political support for raising gas taxes to pay for public infrastructure improvements. Walz campaigned for a gas tax increase to pay for transportation projects.
Voters are smart, and to be clear about this, people are not begging you to raise their taxes, but the way I framed it was, what is your alternative? It's not as if not raising their taxes gives them extra money in their pocket because they know they're spending it anyway, and they look out and see a crumbling infrastructure. And my frame was, is, and I'm open to this, what is another alternative?
Federal gas taxes have been flat since 1993. Walz told the committee that a gas tax is a valuable revenue source because it's reliable and consistent. Supporters of a bill to restore voting rights to felons once they've been released from prison gathered at the Minnesota Capitol yesterday to urge lawmakers to act this session. Tim Pugmire reports.
Legislation scheduled for a House committee hearing next week would allow convicted felons in Minnesota to vote again once their incarceration is over. Currently, felons cannot vote until they complete all terms of their sentence, including probation. During a rally sponsored by the Minnesota Second Chance Coalition, Mark Rio said he won't be able to vote for another decade because of a 2015 felony conviction.
I own a house. I pay property tax. My kids go to school, and I don't have a say-so. I'm silenced for the next 10 years.
Minnesota First Lady Gwen Walz also spoke at the rally in support of the Restore the Vote legislation. Key Republicans in the state Senate have so far resisted the proposal. Tim Pugmire, NPR News at the Capitol.
State revenue officials are encouraging all Minnesotans to file their taxes electronically this year and say many may not realize they're eligible for free services. Elizabeth Dunbar reports.
A range of tax software programs are available for free to those who qualify. That includes members of the military and people making less than $66,000 a year. Revenue Commissioner Cynthia Bowerly says she hopes to see more Minnesotans take advantage of free filing programs this year.
Nearly 65% of Minnesotans may qualify to file their state tax return for free. However, 800,000 Minnesotans who may qualify did not take advantage of that opportunity last year.
In addition, Bowerly says more than 200 sites across the state offer free tax preparation help to seniors and other eligible taxpayers from IRS-certified volunteers. Elizabeth Dunbar, NPR News.
A state House committee has moved to nullify a decades-old legal standard that some say makes it nearly impossible for sexual harassment cases to have their day in court. Supporters of the bill said the severe and pervasive legal standard was set in the 1980s, but workplace conduct and standards have dramatically changed since then. Attorney Sheila Engelmeyer described some of the behavior that didn't meet the standard.
The Eighth Circuit said that a supervisor who puts his arm around an employee's shoulder and kisses her, and later called the employee to the room, locked her in, and while she was trying to get out, pulled her hand away from the door and attempted to kiss her again while grabbing her. That is not enough to be severe or pervasive.
But the proposal also has plenty of opponents, including employers who say the change will open up businesses to a mountain of lawsuits. The bill was approved unanimously by the House Judiciary Committee yesterday and is now headed to the House floor. Governor Walz has been touting what are called full-service community schools since the campaign trail, but it's unclear if he'll include funding in his budget later this month. What exactly is a full-service community school? Elizabeth Shockman visited one in St. Paul to learn more.
St. Paul Music Academy is one of three Achievement Plus full-service community schools in the St. Paul Public School District. It's a sprawling two-story brick building on Geranium Street. And when you go into the school office just off the front entrance, you might hear an unusual sound. That is a tooth polisher. Yes, St. Paul Music Academy offers dental services, in addition to offering normal public school classes for some 640 pre-K through 5 students, about 90% of whom are on free and reduced lunch. And it's not just cavity fillings. The school also has an on-site therapist, literacy tutoring, a monthly food shelf, and a family center that offers housing, energy, and other basic needs assistance. Having these services located inside a school building is what it means to be a community school, according to Craig Sweet, who is St. Paul Music Academy's community liaison.
2 + 2 = 4 is really hard to get to if you've got an achy tooth or an empty belly, right? So that's what Achievement Plus is here to do, is to try to eliminate any of those barriers. They literally call down to the classroom, students walk here and then are seen for their appointment, and then they go back to class.
Sweet's job is key to how community schools work. Funding for community schools does not pay for dental or other non-education services. Funding pays for a community liaison. And it's that liaison's job to figure out what students and their families need and then find community partners and get them to co-locate their services in a school building. Kimberly Miller is one such community partner. She coordinates literacy tutoring at St. Paul Music Academy and oversees volunteers who come in and spend time crouched over kid-sized desks with picture books, helping students learn to read. Like this volunteer tutor, Brooks Donald, and the kindergartner he's working with, Breton Larson.
Well, what kind of meal did the family eat in the story?
I ate breakfast.
They ate breakfast, that's right. And what kind of food was with the breakfast? Pancakes?
Waffles.
Miller says working at a community school is different from other schools she's been at in the past. When she notices a student who needs help, like a student she recently noticed who didn't have warm winter boots, she's able to go to the Family Resource Center and ask for help. She gets to meet her students' needs and spend more time doing what she's paid to do, teach, plan lessons, and coordinate volunteers.
I have so many resources for students who I get close to, and they tell me a little bit more information about their family and what's going on. We are teaching and helping the whole child, like holistic helping.
But not everyone thinks schools should be responsible for things like food, clothing, and tooth extractions. Carla Nelson is a Republican senator from Rochester and chair of the Senate E-12 Finance and Policy Committee. She says the mission of community schools is noble, maybe even successful, but she's concerned it reaches beyond education's jurisdiction.
Our teachers are already telling us that resources are stretched pretty thin. We have to be realistic and realize that there's a price tag for that. So I think we have to be very careful of lumping all responsibilities and all costs into education.
There is some evidence that community schools can improve test scores and school attendance. The Coalition for Community Schools, a national alliance of education and student support organizations, has a collection of research that suggests students in community schools outperform their peers in math and reading. There's also evidence that community schools can help improve attendance and graduation rates. Minnesota has experimented with community schools around the state, including in Deer River, Faribault, Duluth, Rochester, Minneapolis, and Brooklyn Center. There is a bill focused on funding for community schools in the Minnesota Senate, but a hearing has not yet been scheduled. Elizabeth Shockman, NPR News, St. Paul.
And that's your Polycast for this Friday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the NPR Newsroom. Have a great weekend. We'll see you again here next week with news of Amy Klobuchar's announcement.